The Mickey Miles Podcast is brought to you by MEI Travel and Mouse Fan Travel, who will handle your family vacation, reunion, honeymoon, corporate incentive trip, or getaway as if it were their own, bringing premium service and expert advice to help you get the most out of your vacation dollar. Visit them at MEI-travel.com or mousefantravel.com, and by All Star Vacation Homes with locations in Kissimmee and Orlando. All Star Vacation Homes offers you alternatives for your Disney vacation with beautiful and affordable homes, condos, and townhomes near Walt Disney World. Hospitality has a new home, and its name is All Star Vacation Homes. Visit them at allstarvacationhomes.com.
Hi, I'm Beth Torak, and I'm from Minnesota, and I listen to the Mickey Milers Podcast.
This is the Mickey Miles Podcast. From 5K fun runs to full marathons, this is the podcast that helps you learn everything you need to know about running Disney races. Now, here are your hosts for the Mickey Miles Podcast, Michelle Scribner-McLean and Mike Scopa.
Welcome to episode 205 of the Mickey Miles Podcast. My name is Mike Scopa, and my co-host is Michelle Scribner-McLean. Hello, Michelle.
Hi, Mike. How you doing?
Doing okay. I'm a little banged up. I got toes, I got knees, I got ankles, I got all kinds of stuff, but it's race season, so I have to suck it up and just get out there and run.
Yes, you've witnessed the number of Band-Aids that I've been buying lately for all the things.
If you had told me you were going to do that, I wish you had told me earlier so I could have purchased stock.
So I got the missing toenail Band-Aids, and I got the fall on the rail trail Band-Aids. So everything's healing up, and we were running buddies today. We managed to go out there for an 8-mile run, at least to start off together.
Yeah, it was interesting. A couple of bikes, a couple of bike accidents, one bike accident, I should say. And a lot of people are taking advantage of the weather while we still have good weather, and that goes for us too. So good luck to everybody out there as you train for your fall races.
Yes, yes, it was beautiful today compared to yesterday. So we have some shout-outs, as we do. And Mike, when I was in California, it was really nice to meet so many people who we've seen on the Facebook page and things like that. But one of the things that I really enjoyed was talking to people about how much they enjoyed the shout-outs and where they were when they heard them. So I'm glad we're doing them. We'll continue to do them. And I have two today. One is to Donna Skilton, and she did a run walk and put her picture up on the Mickey Miles Podcast page. And the other one is to Denise Trewicki, who is training for the Tower of Terror 10-miler. She did 7.5 miles today. And love to see these smiling faces of people out there getting ready for these races. And so, speaking of Tower of Terror, that's our next Disney race. And we're going to be doing something fun.
Going to be doing something fun, and I believe that fun
will... Other than racing.
The fun will begin on Thursday, October 2nd, as we will have our first Mickey Miles... Actually, yeah, it's our first Mickey Miles dessert party, and it will be for Fantasmic. It will be Thursday night, October 2nd, and it's a lot of fun because it's just so nice to be able to mingle with people during the show. I know a lot of us have seen the show, and we'll see it from a really special perspective that night. We'll have tables set up, we'll have chairs, we'll have desserts, refreshments, and it's so much fun because you're never really feeling like wedged in like you are when you sit down. So I'm looking forward to seeing a lot of people. I'm looking forward to seeing people at their very first dessert party. And one thing I want to point out is that you don't have to be a runner. You don't have to be on the Mickey Miles running team to participate. It's open to everyone. We don't have that much space. So unfortunately, we have to limit it. But everyone and anyone is welcome to join us.
And how do we sign up?
We sign up by going to our webpage.
We have it on our webpage under events, but also it is in the show notes too. And I know you and I have been very lucky to go to several dessert parties. We've been to Illuminations, we've been to Fantasmic. And one thing about Fantasmic dessert parties, and I'm not sure why, but it seems like the desserts are better. Would you agree?
The very first dessert party I went to at Fantasmic was completely different. We do have, I think there are different kitchens that put these desserts together. So what you see in the MGM Studios, the Disney Hollywood Studios, will be different from Epcot. As long as they have those Mickey things, I'm fine. The crispy critters.
Oh, the Rice Krispie bars?
As long as they have them, I'm fine.
Didn't they see you in the corner stuffing them into your bag?
Yeah. Oh, yes. Yes.
Okay, so hopefully we'll see you there. And that event is co-sponsored by MEI Mouse Fan Travel. And we have one more announcement before we get rolling here. And I wanted to mention, Mike, I know I've regaled you with stories of our trip, my trip to Disneyland. And we had two meets. We had one at the Hearthstone Lounge. We had about 40 people there. And we had another meet at on Main Street USA. We had ice cream, and then we all rode pirates. And I just want to remind people that if you want to join the Mickey Milers, your obligation to join is just $50 fundraising for a wonderful cause, which is Give Kids the World. Now, many people like our buddy Phil Vanderpool have knocked it out of the park and done much, much more. But if you join, you just go on the MickeyMilesPodcast.com page and click the link that says Mickey Milers. It takes you through a very simple registration process, and you just have to commit to $50 sometime during the year. And then after that, we will invite you onto our Facebook page. You can just send me a note at michelle@mickeymilespodcast.com, and we will ask you to come on. And it is a lively group over there. We have about 300 people on the team, about 250 on that Facebook page, and it's a really nice running community. And great shirts, too, thanks to our buddies Eddie McCoy and Michael Miller, who designed them.
We're actually over. I think we're around 311, Michelle.
311. Okay, yeah, thank you. Thank you. So we'd love to have more. There's always room for one more.
Yep.
I heard that once.
There's always room for 689 more. That's how many more we need. So.
Mike's goal is to have 1,000 people on the team. So I know a whole bunch of people will be meeting at the Tower of Terror, including you and I. We'll be there. So it is questions today.
It is question day, and Michelle, you, as always, will read the first one.
So one of the people I got to meet in California was John Beale and his fiancée, lovely people, and they have a question about you, Mike. So it says, hey guys, I have an odds maker question for Mike. We all know that Mike isn't interested in doing a Disney marathon anytime soon, but what are the chances that Mike might change his mind and choose to train for a Disney marathon? Inquiring listeners want to know, Mike.
Well, John, you know, I have trained for a marathon twice in my life. And in each each time I trained, something happened. I've played many sports over the years, and with reckless abandon, and I have really pounded my body into a point where I have to be very careful how I run. But I would say that if I were to run in any marathon, it would be a Disney one, because I would take my time, I would do it for fun, and I wouldn't care about speed or pace or whatever, and I wouldn't mind if I did it in, I don't know, 7 hours. I probably could do it better, but I think the odds of me doing it is, at this point, it's 50-50. There are so many things that are would be a very, very much of a challenge for me to get through. I mean, I could do a half with no issues. I mean, last week I ran actually 14 miles, but I think that if it does happen, it would probably have to happen within the next 3 to 5 years. If it doesn't happen in the next 3 to 5 years, it's not going to happen. So with that, I know that there's a window that's closing, and I think that if I'm going to do it, I have to really start thinking about when and where, and you and everyone else listening will be the first two to know, and I'm sure there'll be a lot of people who would want to see me cross that finish line. But a marathon is a different animal than a half marathon, and I've seen a lot of people really struggle with it, and I don't want to be someone who struggles with it. I want someone to cross the finish line with a smile on his face. So we'll see. Thanks for the question.
Yeah, so I'm glad you're being very cautious about it, but I definitely think you can do it. And I'm going to put a challenge out. I'm going to actually have a request for you. If you might consider, I have a birthday coming up, that might be one of my birthday presents, that you tell me you're going to sign up for the 2016 Disney Marathon so I can run it with you.
Michelle, let me tell you, and you know better than anyone, what the biggest challenge is that with my work schedule, I don't have time to train properly. Mm. That is the biggest key. Physically, you know, I could probably get through with that, but I don't have the opportunity to train like everyone else. I run on weekends now. You know that.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Well, just think about it.
So I'll think about
and
it.
And it sounds like John will be there to cheer you on,
I'm
too.
Sure he will. Thanks, John, for the question. Oh, I'm next.
You're next.
All right, the next question comes from TJ Fry, and he actually addresses this one to you, Michelle. He says, Michelle, on show 198, you had a question from a listener on whether she should carry a flashlight for Tower of Terror. I like the tip of the visor clip lights. However, I have another solution for you in case she doesn't wear a hat. I'm hearing about knuckle lights for a few years and thought they sounded interesting. They slip over your knuckles so you can control where the light is shining, similar to a handheld flashlight. But you still have your hands free. While I've never used them personally, I have seen another runner with them once or twice, and they seemed fairly bright. Just a thought in case you're able to pass it on to her. Congratulations on 200, and good luck at Dumbo.
We're starting to be like your podcast with the questions. Yeah, I've seen those too. Those look really interesting. Personally, I don't like to carry anything in my hands when I'm running. I know a lot of people run with water bottles, but this might be a nice solution because you're not really carrying them. They're kind of slipped over your knuckles. But Mike, I've seen something in our local running store, and I know I've mentioned them on the show before, that you can actually clip onto the heels of your sneakers too.
On the heels of your sneakers?
Yeah, yeah. So, like, it goes down near the plastic part, the rubber part on the bottom. They're like spurs. They're from, I think Nathan makes them. Nathan, the place that makes a lot of running supplies and things like that. Nathan, so.
Well, I think that it's one of those deals where it comes down to the individual preference. Some people like hats. Some people would wear something on their knuckles. Some people would like wear something on, I guess, their ankles. I guess the key is what makes you most comfortable. And when you wear it on the hat, wherever you're looking, you're going to be, you know, you're going to be seeing, like, you need to make sure that you can see the surface that you're running on. The knuckles option makes me, I'd have to point my knuckles. It's like, I don't know, like Green Lantern or Spider-Man, I guess. I think I'd prefer the hat, or I'd have to see what this thing on the feet, on the heels would look like. But I think I'm going to stick with my visor lights.
So for our next question, we actually have somebody who called in, and Mike, you and I were hoping that people would do this from the very beginning. I don't think too many people have, but we have a question from Sergio. Should we listen?
Yes, we should.
Hey, Mike and Michelle, this is your friend Sergio from Pleasantville, New York, and I love listening to the Mickey Miles podcast. Two questions for you today. The first one is, I am registered, my wife and I are registered to run the half marathon, the Wine and Dine half marathon, and we've never been down there in November. Wondering what you think the weather will be like for an evening race in November. We had run the Tower of Terror 2 years ago, and it was really hot. I'm hoping that November will be cooler. And my second question is, are you guys going to be having some kind of a meet, you know, for that race down at the World? Would love to meet some of you guys as well as the other Mickey Milers. Thank you again, and love listening to the podcast. Bye-bye.
Okay, so Sergio's, thank you for calling in, Sergio. And Mike, let's remind people, if they do want to call in for questions, that we have a special number for the people who can call and leave their questions for us. And that is 407-545-2141. So hopefully people will call in. So Sergio's first question is, what is the weather going to be like for Wine and Dine in November? And that's an interesting question. Mike, what do you think?
I think that, Sergio, you mentioned about the Tower of Terror, and I have run, I'd say, about 8 or 9 races in Walt Disney World in October, and each one has been somewhat warm. So that pretty much is going to be the order of the day for October. But for November, you can expect it to be a tad cooler. It should not be overwhelming. It should be probably, I'm guessing that it would probably be in the mid-70s in November for the Wine and Dine Half Marathon. The last several years, it's pretty much been that way. As you get closer and closer to December, of course, the temperatures are going to be different. But I think that for the Wine and Dine, I think everybody will be able to run in a short-sleeve shirt, and I think everybody will be able to run in shorts. So I think that you should be fine. Think about a 75-degree temperature. Remember that the heat builds during the day, and it would be a lot. It would be much warmer for a 10 o'clock race in November than it would be for a 6 o'clock a.m. race in November. So I'm thinking 75 degrees.
So when I Googled this question, the average low temperature in Orlando for November, the average, of course, is 57.5 Fahrenheit, and the high temperature is 78.5 Fahrenheit. However, you make an excellent point, Mike, that, you know, if we were running at 6 o'clock in the morning, it might be closer to 57, but because the heat is built in all day long, it's kind of, the heat's held in the asphalt, and it's, you know, it's warm when we're hitting the pavement. I think you can count on 70s, around 70. And it's going to be humid, not as humid as it is in October for the Tower of Terror, but I know that it is. I've run this race 3 times. The other thing to remember too is that afterwards, if you want to stick around for the after party, you might want to put something in your running bag, you know, just a light shirt, because you're going to cool down after the race and it will get, you know, the temperature will be dropping, and you just want to make sure that you're, you know, you stay warm. So that's what I would suggest. Of course, Mike knows I'm always cold. I'll probably have a parka, but, do you agree, Mike, that, you know, when people are going after the party, after running half marathon, they may find that they're a little cooler than they expect?
Yes, I would pack the bag that I check. I would probably check a long sleeve running shirt, maybe a sweatshirt.
Your wine and dine shirt that you get. Yeah, after the race.
I think your legs will be fine. I know that the thighs generate the most heat besides your core when you're running, so I think your thighs would be fine. I think that most people would prefer a long sleeve shirt, so I agree.
Okay. And once again, if you want to call in, just like Sergio did, please do. We'd love to have you call. The number is 407-545-2141. And we will play your question on the air.
That's right. And we want to thank Sergio. And we did not forget, we are going to address right now that second part of your question.
Yes. Oh, thank you. The second part of the question is if we're going to have a wine and dine meet for you know, this year's Wine and Dine. Unfortunately, Mike and I are not going to be doing that one because we're headed out to California very soon after that for the Avengers inaugural race. However, we're going to have some Mickey Miles podcast friends. Eve and Phil are going to be there. I think Eddie McCoy is going to be out there. And this may be the first they've heard of it, but we're going to ask them to hold it. So there will definitely be pre-race meetups and probably another meet too.
Maybe even after the race, we'll see.
Maybe even after the race. Yep. Okay, next question.
Our next question comes from Mark Entry, who says, I'm training for the Walt Disney World Wine and Dine Half, and I'm using the Run, Walk, Run, Run Disney training plan. He says, when doing the two 30-minute runs during the week, should they be run, walk, run, or just 30 minutes running / jogging? Thanks in advance. Michelle?
Well, I did, you know, these training plans were created by Jeff Galloway. And so I did a very similar plan when I got ready for the Dopey. And Mark, I'm actually going to tell you that I think the point of those runs during the week is to keep everything going, everything moving. Those plans are not created for speed work. So I think just get out there and run 30 minutes, however you feel comfortable running. For me, I usually just ran the whole thing, but there's no reason that you have to. Just, you're practicing run, walk, run, and you're getting your stamina building up. I am surprised that it says 30 minutes. I would think that it would be 45 minutes, but that's what I would do whatever's comfortable for you. I wouldn't push it. You don't want to push it because you want to be ready to do your long run on the weekend. So maybe run a day and then run, walk, run another day. But whatever feels comfortable for you, that's what I would say. Mike?
Mark, this is what I would say. I would say that when you're doing these runs during the week, to mimic exactly what you're going to be doing during the half marathon. Now, I know that these are shorter runs, but I think that you want to be as comfortable and as used to doing the run, walk, run method as best as possible. And this is an opportunity for you to really, you know, step back a little bit and make sure that everything works well, breathing, cadence, how you're going to, you know, keep track of everything. So I think that Michelle also makes a good point saying, you know, you've got to keep everything going. And I wish I could run two times during the week.
Yeah, the other thing too, Mark, that I use those times for is practicing my form. Sometimes I have neck pains, and it's a good time for me to talk to myself and say, stand upright, head up, you know, chin in, the types of things that my physical therapist would tell me all the time. So I use those times to work on form. All right, ready for the next one, Mike?
Next question, Michelle.
It's from Lauren Robinson, and she says, hey, y'all, how do you get over a very disappointing run? I'm training for the BAA half, my first half. After last week's long run, I was actually thinking I could do this, but after the run, I'm terrified of being swept. I need tricks on training my brain to be more positive more often. I love this question. Love this question. Mike, what would you say to Lauren?
Well, first off, I think I know what that course is.
Yeah, we did the BAA 10K.
But this half, I don't think this is the half we did. I think this is around Franklin Park.
Right. We did the Runner's World.
Right.
Heartbreak Hill half.
And I've talked with friends about this. Lauren, you're not alone. You're not be assured that everyone who's listening to this podcast has at one point in their training career had a very disappointing run. It could be for a lot of reasons. It could be time. It could be just painful. Not everything will work all the time. I can tell you that there have been times when I have gone out for a run and I've turned around after 30 seconds and said, you know, I don't have it today. How to remain positive? Just say, you know, tomorrow's another day. And just think about maybe something that you did within the last 24 hours that maybe just didn't sit well with you. Maybe your stomach was bothering you. Maybe you ate something that was maybe too spicy. I think that you always have to remain positive. You always have to remember that not every day is going to be the best day. Not every work day, not every running day. Just remain positive. And I think you said that you're terrified. I think that you have to remain positive. And what you need to do is think about your training as just like the half. It's a long journey, and that there are going to be bumps in the road. But as long as you have your eyes set on that goal, which is to finish, and finish as best as you can with a smile on your face, then you'll be fine. Don't worry about speed. Just worry about just getting a little bit better each time, and you know, with your miles. But remain positive, because you'll be able to look back and laugh at this. So good luck.
Well, I agree with everything that you said. I have a slightly different take on it. I find that one of the things I've learned the most about running, about myself when I have been running, is the mental piece of it. I constantly have to talk to myself. I might say things like, only one more half mile, or I can do it, you know, just for five more minutes, or you know, sometimes I'll just say, you know, you're strong, you're tough, you can do this. Sometimes I push myself with music that's really fun. And even after all that, sometimes I just have a lousy run. What I do is to look to my friends. I'll talk to my closest running friends. I'll put a note on the Mickey Milers, or talk to Eddie McCoy, or talk to Mike, and just say, you know what, I had a crappy run, or Helen Dunn. And everybody says the same thing. We all have these runs. Yesterday, my son started his career as a cross-country runner, and he was very nervous going into the first meet. He's done a lot of races around here with me, as you know, if you listen to the podcast. And the thing that I kept on telling him was the scariest thing is to get to the start line. It really is scary, because after you start the race, then you're going on your training and what you know. And afterwards, when he finished, and he did fine, it's been very hot around here, so if you're training around here, I know why you had some lousy runs. I've had some recently, too. But after the race, I talked to him, and I said, was I right? And he said, yes. He said, just getting to the line was really scary, but once I started running, I was okay. So let people know on the Facebook page. We're here to support you, and we want to see that picture with you finishing with your BAA medal. I'll tell you, I know I'm prejudiced, grew up around here, but those BAA races are very special, and it's very nice to get a unicorn. So, okay. Mike, anything else?
Nope, I think you said that very well.
Okay, thank you. So the next question, you're going to be asking the question from Steve Brown.
Oh, I will?
Yeah.
Okay. So, Steve Brown says he is disappointingly injured again. He has a herniated cervical disc. Sorry to hear that, Steve. He says, I have two questions. Has anyone else had this injury? And the frequently asked questions for Wine and Dine says fees are non-refundable, but I thought I remember hearing on the podcast they might postpone it for a year. Okay, Michelle.
Well, I don't know anybody.
I don't know anyone's had this injury.
I don't either. But put it on the Facebook page, and all I know is it sounds really painful. And I'm sorry, Steve. I hope you recover quickly. I actually answered Steve on the Mickey Miles podcast page because I want him to do this as soon as possible. I believe the window is 6 weeks in which you can defer. So you need to write to Run Disney as soon as possible and ask them to defer your admission to this race for next year. They're going to charge you a fee, and hopefully they'll say yes, and you'll be able to switch your bib to the 2015 Wine and Dine Half Marathon. But that would be my suggestion.
I'd say the same thing, Michelle. There won't be a refund, but the sooner you let them know, Steve, what's going on? I'm sure they'll be more than happy to defer you to next year.
I don't know if they'll be more than happy. Wow. I mean, it really depends. There is a time, and when you are past that time, they won't let you do it anymore.
Right.
So you'll be out of luck, and that's a lot of money to lose. But
we know.
Yeah. So I would just make a passionate plea, write a note as soon as possible, maybe call them and get somebody on the phone. And say, this is what's going on. And hopefully they will be able to do it. I don't remember exactly what the window of time is. But it says right when you register, it's not refundable and not transferable too. So Steve, it looks like you are going to be in luck here because I actually just went on to the Run Disney page, and this is the link that I looked at. rundisney.com/wine-and-dine-half-marathon/registration. And this is what it says. I'll read it out for you in case anybody is in the same boat. If you register for the 2014 Wine and Dine Half Marathon weekend, you may defer your registration to the 2015 Wine and Dine, subject to availability on or before October 23rd, 2014. Deferral requests will be assessed a $45 processing fee if completed by September 25th. Deferral requests will be assessed a 70% processing fee if completed between the September 26th and October 23rd. Deferrals are not allowed for the Mickey's Jingle Jungle 5K, the Run Disney races, or any other race weekend purchases. To defer to the Wine and Dine race registration, click here. There's a link that you can do it. And deferrals are actually subject to capacity limits and may close because of the deferral deadline. It says it's a 20% capacity level. So when you click on the link, it gives you a form to fill out. There's all sorts of things that you need to agree to, and there's all sorts of legalese, but it sounds like you have some time to do it, so do it as soon as possible, Steve.
Okay, Michelle, it's time for you to read the last question for this show.
All right, and our last question is by TJ Fry again. And he says, in looking at the calendar, it appears that all of the Run Disney events on the West Coast take place over a holiday weekend, which are presumably busier weekends in the park. However, it appears that the events at Walt Disney World take place when the park normally would be slower. Any thought as to why there is a differing philosophy between the two parks? Keep up the great work. This is a great question. We actually talked about this. I think Eddie McCoy and I were chatting about this at Disneyland. I'd love to hear your take on it, Mike.
All right, putting on my WW Today hat. I think that the philosophy here is that you've got two different types of venues when you think of Walt Disney World and when you think of Disneyland. With Walt Disney World, you have a large area that is owned by Walt Disney World, and they can do whatever they want with it. They have control over it. I'm not sure you can say the same for Disneyland and the neighbors that are around there. Therefore, it would make sense that on the holiday weekends, when most people are staying away from work and everything, that those areas around the Disneyland and the California Adventure theme park would best be used for races. Closing down streets, even for a couple of hours, is a very, very huge undertaking. And I think it's a lot easier, and it's a good neighbor policy to do it that way. The other thing is that I know that they bring in a lot of money in Disneyland and in Anaheim when they have the race weekends. And if they do it during a holiday weekend, I think that it really works well for everyone involved. And they don't have to do that for Walt Disney World. I don't know if there are. I have been to Walt Disney World quite a lot in the last year and a half, probably more so than in any time in my life. And I can tell you, TJ, that it hasn't slowed down. It has really picked up. I don't know if there's such a thing as a slow weekend anymore in Walt Disney World. I think that they just are trying to spread them out. They're trying to make sure that there's there's a balance, and I think that's the case. But getting back to Disneyland, I just think it's better, and they act as a good neighbor if they do it on holiday weekends rather than a regular weekend.
It's interesting because it's a whole different clientele there in general. It's very busy on the weekends with local people. And but this past time that I was there, the attractions were never really super, super busy, which I thought was really interesting. So I'm wondering if this past one, I can only speak to this past one, if Labor Day traditionally isn't maybe a slower weekend for Disneyland. That may be counterintuitive, but there weren't a lot of people on the attractions, especially in the morning. We could get on Radiator Springs Racers over and over again. So maybe it's a way to boost attendance for those holiday weekends. I don't know.
Could be.
Great question.
Thanks for the question, TJ. Yeah.
Think about it more, and I'd love to ask Laura Gilbert and Lee Zimmerman this question,
yep,
too.
Yep.
Right. Thank you, everybody.
Thank you for the questions. And as Michelle had talked about earlier on, we'd love to have you call in and give us your questions over the phone, and this way we can play those questions, and we'd love for you to be able to be heard by everybody out there. And don't forget, if you do that, you can also give us a little show opening, and we'd love to use it on future podcasts.
And Mike, what's that number people call?
The number is
407-545-2141.
And one more time, reminder that we have a Fantasmic dessert party planned for the Twilight Zone Tower of Terror 10-miler race weekend. And there are still some spots open, so feel free to go over there. I don't know when they'll close up, but again, we don't have that much space, so we want to give everybody as much time as possible to decide whether they want to join us. And the more people, the merrier. So once again, check our website. And also check the show notes. So anything else, Michelle?
That's it. I think that's enough.
So for Michelle Scribner-McLean, this is Mike Scopa saying we'll see you on the road. The Mickey Miles podcast has been brought to you by MEI Travel and Mouse Fan Travel, who will handle your family vacation, reunion, honeymoon, corporate incentive trip, or getaway as if it were their own, bringing you premium service and expert advice to help you get the most out of your vacation dollar. Visit them at mei-travel.com or mousefantravel.com. And buy All-Star Vacation Homes with locations in Kissimmee and Orlando. All-Star Vacation Homes offer you alternatives for your Disney vacation with beautiful and affordable homes, condos, and townhouses near Walt Disney World. Hospitality has a new home, and its name is All-Star Vacation Homes. Visit them at allstarvacationhomes.com.
Thanks for joining us on today's episode of the Mickey Miles Podcast. The Mickey Miles Podcast is not affiliated with, authorized, or endorsed by, or in any way officially connected with Run Disney, the Walt Disney Company, Disney Enterprises, Inc., or any of their affiliates. We hope you enjoyed listening. Our discussion continues on Facebook at facebook.com/Mickey Miles Podcast, where you can give us your comments and feedback on the show. You can also follow us on Twitter at twitter.com/Mickey Miles Pod. And if you have any questions for us, you can send them to questions@MickeyMilesPodcast.com, and we'll try to answer them as soon as possible. For all of us here at the Mickey Miles Podcast, this is Rick Gregg saying until next time, thanks for listening, and we'll see you on the road.